This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
Alrighty, I'm the interviewer. My name is Dahlia Hughes, and I'm interviewing David Burke. We're currently in Bronx, New York. The date is February 4th, 2021. Do you give me permission to record and distribute this oral history?
David? Yes, you have my permission to record and distribute this.
All right. So what's your full first name, your full first and last name?
My full name is David Burke.
Your age?
I am 32 years old.
What's your occupation?
I'm a benefits manager for an investment bank.
Your racial identity?
Black/African-American.
What's your gender identity?
Male.
Your sexual orientation?
Sure.
Okay. And where are you from? Tell us a little bit about how long you've been out here in New York City.
Yeah, I was born in Kingston, Jamaica, grew up in St. Catherine, and then moved to New York City in 2002. So I was just 13 years old when I moved to New York, and I've been here ever since, except for a short stint when I went away to college for 4 years in Connecticut.
Okay, that's amazing. So how has coronavirus changed your life? How has it affected you mentally and emotionally?
Yeah, I think Corona, as we know, has impacted everyone globally. For me, it's impacted the way we do work, the way I do school. In addition to work, I'm also in school. It's positive in some respects, negative in others. For example, the positive aspects include the fact that I can, you know, cut down on transportation cost. I can, have more time to spend with family and balance work and family at the same time. Those are some positive things. I can still get work done without having to commute, without having to incur additional expense to do that from the comfort of my own home. When the weather is bad, for example, this weekend we just had a snowstorm, not having to worry about cancellations or delay in mass transit. So it's positives in those respects. The negative aspect of it for me is that, I like to engage with my colleagues and my peers and my classmates. And so not having that opportunity, even though we do that on a virtual basis, I just think you can't replace the in-person interaction and having those organic conversations in person for an extended period of time, whether it's walking to class or if I'm in the office just standing by the cooler and just catching up. So not having that engagement has kind of been a negative. But at the same time, I think this is a positive thing for many workforces, to go virtual. I mean, now we can work from anywhere, get our work done, and not have to worry about being in a particular place. And I think that's very productive for business as well.
Right. Okay. Has you or anyone that you've known been affected or impacted by coronavirus?
Impacted as in caught it? Yes. I have folks who are members of my church who contracted COVID-19, which has been tough. Fortunately for us, none of my immediate church members passed away, but I do have friends and colleagues from other churches who do have people that caught it and succumbed to it. They died as a result of it. I have a friend, for example, her dad caught it and he died. So it's really been emotional. My mom, works in a hospital and, has to face this on a day-to-day basis, even today. My wife is also a nurse and I have to combat this on a day-to-day basis as well. So it's very taxing emotionally, but at the same time, I we're fortunate enough to have the resources, whether it's a computer, something as a computer, recognizing that there are many folks in the world who don't have a a computer or other type, or even if they do have a computer, might not have internet or stable internet, or might not be able to afford it. So simple things that we take for granted, I've really come to appreciate it. But to your question, yes, I have folks who have been impacted in many ways, but we're still trying to get through, and that's all we can do. And now that there's a vaccine out, just to encourage the masses to take that so that we can reduce the spread of this, not just to protect ourselves, but to protect our fellow human beings.
Okay. You did mention the emotional toll that it took. How can you elaborate more, like, on the emotional, like, aspect of being home more so than normal?
Yeah, for me, I personally wasn't that affected emotionally, in the sense that, like, I'm fine being here at okay. home. Right. It's safer.
It's safer. How about mentally?
I thought about everything is a pro and a con, and I felt like the safety of and comfort of my own home outweighed going out and exposing myself and my family to this disease. But I do have family members who have had, reacted to this very emotionally. And just like anything else, everyone reacts to it differently.
Right.
What we have to do is recognize that we have more in common than we have apart, and try to assist each other the best that we know how. What I recommend is those who are impacted emotionally, if you're in the workforce, to try to see if your employer has any services for counseling, or someone that you can speak right. to, or find ways that you can mitigate it. And if you're in school, do the same thing. If you have a guidance counselor or some health facility on campus that can offer mental health, because that's very important.
For sure. How has your job been impacted by the pandemic?
Yeah, so at the onset of the pandemic, I was actually laid off from my prior company because of, downsizing, impacted the business. Fortunately for me, I've been able to find work elsewhere. And for me, I'm loving it. I don't miss having to wake up early to drive to work. I can wake up in my pajamas, literally turn to my nightstand, grab my computer, and just like that, I'm on for work. Yep. And I can, make myself breakfast or lunch. Or if I want to run out to the cleaners or do something on my lunch break, I can do that now. Whereas pre-corona, I would have to do that on the weekend. So now I can make more time.
Absolutely. During the protests over the summer, the riots and the looting that I'm sure you've heard about, was your neighborhood impacted at all or targeted?
Yes and no. So where I, on my block and the surrounding blocks, it wasn't impacted in terms of protests per se or lootings, but in communities very close to mine, for example, Fordham Road, which is just a short drive away, saw tons of videos with people looting and protesting. Now, we want to separate protesting from looting. They're two separate things.
Exactly.
But I do think it's important. I think now we're at a point where, especially looking at what occurred in the last election, we can see that our nation is very much divided at this point. And so, America, we're known for being resilient. We're known for being the country that can come back from tough times. We're whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, we're all Americans. And I bring that up to say that, being all Americans, the same should apply to our lives, whether you're Black or white, we're all still Americans. And so I do believe that, I do believe in the Black Lives Matter movement, not from a segregation perspective, but from a united perspective, not to segregate Blacks and whites, but to really unite us to say that, Black people lives matter. You know, we've seen countless of occasions across the nation, not just in any one city, where a person of color have succumbed, you know, at the hands of those who are meant to protect and serve us, at the hands of police officers. And so we can stop by, whether you're Black or white, we can continue to stand by and watch injustice go on. I mean, an injustice on one American is an injustice on all American. And so I do believe that the movement should continue to educate folks, and you know, sometimes people who may be racist might not recognize it. They might not be conscious of that fact. Right. And so we have to continue to educate each other, and I would challenge organizations to put in place trainings that will support their employees and their managers so that we can kill any sort of racist cancer.
In reference to what you said in regards to the strength of our country, how do you think our country will recover from all the chaos it has faced in the past year? Exactly.
I want to apologize for my son making a little noise in the background. I do think America will recover. If you look at our history, we've had some very tough times, and we've been able to recover from them all. In 2008, when there was great declines in the market, we've been able to recover. And that's the strength of the American people that I speak about. That's our competitive advantage over all the other other nations in the world, is that we have the ability to overcome. Whenever we receive an arrhythmia, we just persevere and overcome that. And that's what I love about being an American. And so I think while this is tough, I think we will overcome. You've seen how quickly we were able to turn around a vaccine just within a year of this disease, which is a very short time frame for a vaccine to be produced. And distribution has already occurred in many municipalities, many towns. Of course, there's many more to be rolled out, but the future looks very bright. I think in the short term, there's going to be some pain. We've seen mass unemployment, lots of industries suffering. But at the same time, knowing the American people, I think it's an opportunity as well for us to be innovative and create new business platforms, to create jobs that weren't present before, to create a workforce that we didn't think was possible. Right before, when we imagined work, we imagined being in a physical building. And now we have kind of reimagined work where it can happen from anywhere. And so with that possibility, and knowing all the amazing engineers and technologists that we have in this nation, I'm very confident that, you know, 2-3 years from now, you'll start to see America bounce back. You'll start to see the stock market bouncing back. And things will have some normalcy. I do want to say normalcy will not be necessarily normal as we knew it before, in that, you know, work and school won't operate the same way, but there will be a level of comfort in terms of how we go forward.
That's a good answer. Another question that I have is, since I'm most likely sure that you've been watching the elections, what do you make of Joe Biden being our new president? Do you think he will right former Trump's presidents, Trump, his wrongs? Do you think he will right them?
Yeah, well, I won't necessarily say he will right any wrongs from President Trump, because every president have their own identity that they bring into the office. I do think Biden was the better election of the two candidates that we had. And he has some ideas that I think would be very positive for the American people. For example, he intends to reduce student loan debt for many Americans. We've yet to see in what capacity that will occur, but I think any alleviation of that debt will be tremendous to the financial bounce back for the American people. For example, we have over $1 trillion debt in student loan, $1 trillion in debt, student loans. And so if we were able to reduce that debt for many Americans, that would sort of free up their finances free up their finances to do more things for their family, whether that's to buy a home, invest in real estate, use that funds to do something else. And for others, they won't feel enslaved to that type of debt. And also will continue to encourage the up and coming generation to continue their education without necessarily worrying about being entangled in financial debt.
What were your reactions to the invasion of the U.S. Capitol by Trump supporters on January 6th?
That was very disgraceful. That was very disgraceful. And again, to the earlier question about when I mentioned Black Lives Matter, I think, Trump supporters attacking the Capitol like that is exactly why we need to bring awareness to movements like the Black Lives Matter. For example, I do believe if that was a group of Black folks entering the Capitol, I do believe that the repercussions would have been much more severe. I don't think they would have been able to make it home to their families and have dinner at 6 p.m. Like those Trump supporters did. And so I trust and hope that will not occur again, or at least certainly not in the near future. And I think there's a lesson in it for all of us to learn. And again, I mentioned at the beginning of this interview that further shows how far we are, the American people, how far we are apart. And I think Joe Biden will bring together the American people. He seems to be a peacemaker who will put in place strategies not for a Democrat or not for Republicans, but institute stuff that's going to be beneficial for Americans as a whole.
What do you think led these people to attempt to violently overthrow the government?
I'm sorry, can you please repeat that question? I could not hear you.
What do you think led these people to attempt to violently overthrow the government?
I think any institution, any organization tend to follow the capacity of their leader. And I think President Trump, though not explicitly requested this, I think his personality and how he approaches the media, other nations, reporters, different women, the Mexicans, the way he speaks to different types of folks, gives them sort of this entitlement. And you know, even with the election himself, despite what the numbers show, he completely opposed that and wanted to, do re-elections and did do re-elections in a number of counties. He did not accept defeat, like we've seen from all the previous presidents. And so that type of behavior should not be tolerated. And it's very un-American.
Were you surprised by how those people were treated by the police?
I'm not surprised. As I said, I'm not surprised because they weren't Black. If they were Black folks, then, it would have been, for far too long in this country, we've seen, and if you look across many organizations now, there's a big DEI initiative going on, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion, because there's now more wide stream recognition that white supremacy still stands in many of our counties, many of our states. And so we see that in the Capitol in the way they're treated versus how African Americans are treated when they're encountered with the police. And so, no, I'm not surprised, but at the same time, it's a reminder that there's still a far way for us to go to bridge the divide between white and Black.
That's understandable. Were you active in protests at all, digitally or even in person? You mentioned that you...
No. Yeah. So I didn't actively protest as in person. Again, I think for me, trying to protect myself and my family, yeah. I did not want to expose myself to coronavirus. And I think those mass gatherings, despite many folks wearing masks, I saw that there are many folks who were also not wearing masks.
Not wearing masks.
So I wanted to protect myself and my family. So for that reason, did not participate in any protests. But I did voice my opinions on virtual platforms, social media platform, just so that others can read and really use it, not necessarily to bash any one person, but just to use it as an education forum where we can meet, our minds can meet, come together, put to different ideas how we can move forward and what some things we can do to uplift our communities.
Why did you decide to get involved?
Why do I decide to be get involved is because I believe that, you know, by being silent, when you're silent, silent means agreement. And so I wanted to, it's just like voting. If you're not voting, you're not taking an active stance.
Right.
And so for me, I think every voice is important. It doesn't matter if it's reaching the masses. As long as you can reach one other person, you're making an impact. And so for that reason, I will continue to share my opinions.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it.
No, awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You know, feel free if you ever need to do, if you have any further questions on this topic, you know, if your professor have any further questions, I'll make myself available to assist.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.